I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. What a great life it is to be living for the Lord. Today we're going to be looking in 1 Peter, the bird's eye view for me and you, the books of the New Testament. Of course, we're studying through the entire New Testament, and my goal is that as we study these books of the New Testament, my goal is not that we study it in depth, but that as we study these books, we're going to hit the high points, the bird's eye view for me and you, books of the New Testament, an overview. And my goal is that this would kind of, if you would say, whet your appetite so that you will get into the Word of God and you will study further. You will study for yourself and find out what God has for you in these books of the New Testament. Well, the book of 1 Peter, this is study number 120, or study number 21 in our study of the New Testament. And some of the background here is that the author was Peter the Apostle. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it talks about this in verse 1. And also in 1 Peter 5:12, it says, "By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God, wherein you stand." And of course, verse 1 of chapter 1 says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ." So we see that Peter was the author of this book. And he talks about in verse 1 of writing to this stranger scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And these five Roman provinces are now modern-day Turkey. The date that this was written is around A.D. 67 and 68. And it was apparently during or just previous to some major persecution that was taking place. And the setting is this letter was written to Christians, both Jews, according to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, those who are scattered, and to Gentiles. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "Which in time past were not a people," that's speaking of the Gentiles, "but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." So we see it's written to the Jews and to the Gentiles and in Asia Minor. And it was evidently written from Babylon. 1 Peter 5:13 says, "The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus my son." So I believe that Peter was in Babylon when this letter was written. Now we could look at several verses as key verses, but I want to choose just a couple here. In 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 2 and verse 22, it says, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth," is speaking of our Lord. Verse 23 goes on to say, "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree," that's speaking of Jesus being crucified, "that we," that's us, Christians, "being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." 1 Peter 4:19 says, "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." We're not suffering in this country so far, the country that I live in, and this is the United States of America. We're not suffering to the extent of giving our lives. Some people have in the past, and there may be some who are now, I do not know of, but we have been fortunate in this country to be able to worship our Lord freely without giving our lives. But there are those people who are suffering in other countries who have given their lives for the worship of our Savior. It says, 1 Peter 4:19, once again, "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God." Doesn't mean that God wants you to suffer. It simply means that there comes times in our lives as Christians that suffering may happen. And that's because we are human and that we do worship the true God. And there are people who hate God. And that may be hard to understand, But there are people who hate God, and they more or less take their spite out upon us who name the name of Christ. Another couple of verses here that I would see as key verses, chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Well, what about the purpose of the book? I believe there are several things that we can look at here. The purpose of the book, first of all, is Christ's salvation produces a hope that is alive. It's real. And it also produces joy that's hard to describe in words, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Let's read a couple of those verses. In verse 3 of 1 Peter 1, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now, of course, in Hebrews chapter 11, it says that faith is the substance. It's a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And of course, as we understand that we have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ through His blood, that gives us a lively hope. It's alive. It's not something that is dead, but it's an expectation that we know that one day we're going to see our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in verse 8 of chapter 1, it says, "Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." It's hard to describe the joy that a Christian has and can have as we understand that Christ has died for us, He rose from the grave, and by trusting Him, we too one day will rise and be with Him forever. Well, it's the purpose of the book is to produce a lively hope in us, to help us to understand who we are. And it also helps us to understand our relationship with God. It tells us there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, that we are to be holy. Verse 16 says, "But it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." And verse 15 says, "But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation," or the behavior that you have, your life. And because we do name the name of the Lord, and we do say that God is our Heavenly Father, He's holy, so therefore we are to exhibit in our lives holiness. We are to do what's right. And as men and women see our lives, we become a walking scripture. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We become the living Word of God as we exhibit the life that Christ has given us, the new life, a new heart, and therefore people see our lives, and that is a good work, and prayerfully and hopefully they will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus as well. The Bible tells us here also that we are to be reverent. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 21, it talks about that. Verse 17 says, "And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." It's not talking about that we have to fear God, that He's going to kill us, or something that drastic. We don't have to fear Him in that manner of fear. It's a reverential fear. We reverently fear Him as our Father, which is in heaven, who is in heaven. And then we also see that we are to love one another fervently. 1 Peter 1:22 says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." It's something you can't fake. It's something that comes through only because of the love of Christ. We are to love fervently. And then 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10 says that we are a chosen generation. And then we also see that there's something about our relationship with men or mankind. We're to submit ourselves to every human institution according to 1 Peter 2, verses 13 through 15. It says there in verse 13 through 15, it says, "Submit yourselves so to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." We are to pray for our leaders. We are to ask God to protect them. And I believe we are also to ask God to save those who are unsaved. Submit ourselves unto authority. And then it talks about servants being submissive. It talks about in 1 Peter 2, verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. And I believe that's speaking also of those people who have jobs, who are working. They have a manager or a boss or an owner of a company giving them instruction. We're to be subject to those people. Why? Well, they're paying us to do a certain job, and we need to be subject to them with fear. In other words, reverence. And then the Bible tells us in these verses also that wives are to be submissive to their husbands, 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6, and that husbands are to honor their wives as well, according to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Well, many things can be said and looked at in this scripture in 1 Peter. One thing that we see is in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says that we are to cease from sin and live according to the will of God. We're to be good stewards of the grace of God, according to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. And don't think it strange if you go through trials, according to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 14. We're to be examples, according to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And I touched on that briefly a few moments ago. And as we exhibit good works in our lives as Christians, that other people see, and they prayerfully and hopefully will come to a saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, many things can be said, and I pray that this will stimulate you to give you an understanding that we need to get into the Word of God. You need to get into the Word of God. You need to study God's Word. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says there that we are to study the Word of God. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study the Word. God will bless you for it. Hide the Word of God in your heart, and God will bless you. He will help you to grow in His grace and knowledge. It's been good being with you today, and my prayer for you is if you do not know Christ as your Savior, that you will ask Him to come into your heart right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior. I'm willing, Lord, to turn from my sin. I'm willing to repent, to do an about face, and I'm trusting you to save me, to take me to heaven. I believe that you are God. I believe that you are the Savior, and only you can save me. Please come into my heart right now. If you pray that prayer, God will save you for His Son's sake, Jesus Christ. And if you are saved, live for Him. Trust Him. Let Him guide your life and help others come to a saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Look at our website this week, lrwm.org. That's lrwm.org. On the website, you can download a free transcript of this program and other programs of It's a Good Life. You can also write to me, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. That's Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. I'll be glad to send you free of charge a written transcript of this program and other programs of It's a Good Life. Until the next time when you hear me say It's a Good Life, may the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.